What inspired you to participate in R2K, like in Philadelphia? Or, you know, was it related to the fact that it was going to be about police and prisons, or was that something that, like, because I remember that was like a process also, like, of arguing for that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a couple of things. I mean, one thing, we just have to put it in kind of historical context a little bit, right? What was happening the year before R2K even happened was the Battle of Seattle. And before that, I mean, there were all, like, the stuff that happened with SLAM was happening just nationally. There was a huge upswing in terms of, like, student activism. There was a huge interest in terms of anarchism. And there was a huge interest in terms of direct action, you know, this that was popping off just nationally, particularly in, like, the different city centers of New York City, Chicago, and San Francisco. And you know, and it all culminated, you know, with the famed, you know, Battle of Seattle, which kind of inspired, like, you know, hundreds of, like, young people around the country, not thousands of young people, in terms of, like, taking, like, you know, direct action seriously. So within that context, the second part of that too was the fact that you know, there was an election in 2000. This was coming at the end of the Bill Clinton administration. You know, Bill Clinton, you know, even though he's lauded by many, he was responsible for the mass imprisonment of, you know, of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of African Americans and Latino people. You know, he ended welfare support for welfare mothers. You know, and so there was this whole type concept of this kind of like benign capitalism that Clinton represented, and that was coming to a close. And there was a battle between George Bush and Al Gore. So 2000 was an election year, and the Republican National Convention. You know, they decided to hold their convention in Philadelphia, you know, which is very symbolic in terms of, quote unquote, the creative liberty for them. You know, for us, I mean, for political activists, we know Philadelphia as not as a creative liberty. We know Philadelphia as a place of Frank Rizzo parading Black Panthers naked in the streets at gunpoint. We know, you know, Philadelphia is Wilson Good dropping a bomb on the Move Center and destroying entire square blocks of in the Black community. We know Philadelphia as the place in which Mumia was framed. Mumia Abu-Jamal, the famed journalist and writer and educator, was framed and for murder and placed on death row. So Philadelphia. So for us, so when you talk about what inspired me. You know, just to see the Republican Party and what that represents, you know, going to Philadelphia, you know, was many of us took it as a direct challenge to us in terms of the work that we were doing, in regards to freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal and making those connections to Philadelphia. So it was kind of like a showdown on a national stage. To challenge the Republican Party, you know, on a national stage, you know, and really kind of bring in those politics about prisons and political prisoners to the forefront of the national consciousness.
I feel like it was so unique that, like, the movement to free political prisoners, like, joined up with, like, the global justice movement and, in a way, sometimes I wonder if that's why the repression was so intense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that had a lot to do with it. And I think that people saw, in the, particularly the ruling classes, you know, in the state, the law enforcement saw the potential of a broad-based, you know, movement connecting anti-globalization with political prisoners, with trade unions, with the peace movement, as being, you know, symbolic with a militant direct action core, as being threatening to, you know, to running business as usual. So if they were, so if Philadelphia was successful, right, then we had to, they had to, there was going to be a sense that, you know, there could be other successful movements around other parts of the country as well. Now, you also have to put it in the context, too, that, you know, you had this guy who was a police commissioner at the time in Philadelphia, John Timothy, who was also he was also a police commissioner in New York City when Amadou Diallo was killed, who was also brought on, I believe, as commissioner or advisor for the Miami protests that happened, the FTAA protests that happened earlier, or maybe that happened afterwards. I think it might happen.
Yeah, the Miamians, they really crushed people then. Oh, my God.
Was that after or before Susie? I don't remember.
It was, I believe it was after R2K. It was like even, it might have been like 2 years later.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. So, like, I felt like, so based on the Seattle experience, right, I think that the learning curve of the police department kind of grew exponentially. And I think that Timothy kind of represented that learning curve, you know, in terms of, like, what police tactics to use in terms of repressing folks, and, you know, which is, you know disrupt communication networks, you know, massive shows of force, basically militarize the city, using that as pressure points in terms of blocking or moving the building.